Okay. We're now going to begin the Gemara at the bottom of the Gemara Sota Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We discussed a number of different cases of what type of home you're building excuses you from the front, what kind of woman you're marrying, what kind of vineyard you're planting, etc., etc. Now we're going to get into a minor detail, exactly who gave what instructions at what time. And there seems to be a little bit of a conflict exactly who and what, and the Gemara is going to straighten it all out in this next little section over here. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught in a braisa the following. It says in the Torah, V'dibru hashotrim, and the officer shall speak to the nation, saying, who is the man who didn't who built this house and didn't inaugurate it? Who's the man of this? Who's the man of this? That it says the officers speak. So let's see if that's exactly true. Even though the pasuk says that, Yochol, I might think Dvarim Shalatzman. Maybe these are their own words. They're the ones who initiate these words. I'm saying these three types of people should go back. No, we cannot say that's what it means. Why? Because Kishu Omer, when it says Vayosfu Hashotrim, and the officer shall add. So what does it mean they shall add? So let's go back to the source here. Oh, we have it. Remember, if you go to battle, okay, now we started on Pusik base. It says when you get close, it says the Kohen will come and speak to you. And he says, listen, Jewish people, you're going to battle against enemies. Don't be afraid, blah, 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 blah. Okay, first two psukim. We said that's when you're ready at the front. You're at the front. It's going out of order, right? You're at the front. Now, Pusik Hay says, so that's words of encouragement. Don't be afraid. Hashem's with you. Fine. That's the Kohen. No question about it. And from past Gemara, that's at the front, literally. Pusik Hay says, V'dibra Shotrim, and the officers speak to the people. And those are the next three psukim. A person who built a house, vineyard, getting married, fine. But now, here's the problem. Pasuk Ches says, V'yosfu hashotrim ledaber alham. The officers will speak further to the people. So what does it mean? And that's the idea of who's afraid. Okay. So the question is, what do you mean they shall speak further? It should just say, take out those whole words. Oh, look, let's start again from Hey, V'tibru ha-shotrim. The shotrim speak to the people saying, what do they say? Number one, who's the man who built the house? Blah, 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 blah. Pasuk Vav. Who's the man who built a kerem? Blah, 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 blah. Umi ha-ish asher eiris ish, who got engaged to a woman? Blah, blah, blah. Now, if they have more to say, just, and Pasuk Ches, take out the first line and a half and just start from the words, If it's one long thing, so what do you interrupt it with these words over here?
Because it was at another time.
Those words here, those words, what do you need them for?
Another
time. Right? So the Gemara is going to say from this, so it can't be that it says the Shotrim say A, B, C, and they further say D, what do you mean they further say D? Just don't say they further say. You didn't say that by the first three psukim after each psukim, and they further said. So that means there's something not glatt over here, something not straight over here. Therefore, the Gemara is forced to say the following. Right? It says, and they shall add to their words. What do you mean if they're adding to their words? Harei dvarim shalatzim amar. This implies that it is only these later words are their own words. It's saying, and they will add. Usually, you know, you say you'll add, it means A said something and B will add on. If you're continuously speaking, why do you have to say and you add on? So it must be, these are really their words, while the previous words were not their words. Yeah, but it says in the Shotrim say. The problem is, there's no way to, right now it appears there's no way to swing it. It says, and the Shotrim will say A, B, C. And the Shotrim will continue to add on to say D. Well, if it's all one thing, what do you say? And they add on. It's what they're, you don't, it's everything they're saying. What if they add on? Must be, usually it means, well, they're adding on to what somebody else said. What do you mean somebody else? But it says the Shochrim said. So why do you say they're add on? That's the problem. So what are you going to, so this last part means they're adding on to somebody else. We're going to say, but wait a minute. How am I going to understand? Vidibra Shochrim, the beginning says, the Shochrim speak. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say the Shochrim will say A, B, C. And they will add on. Usually adding on to what somebody else said. And if it's their own words, why do you have to say they're adding on? They're not adding on. They're just, it's another thing. But you don't say, and they add on. So there, because of this question, we're forced to say the following. It's when it says, and the Shochrim say, those three people, it's Bedivrei Mashuach Mochama HaKasuv Medaber. It is really the words of the Kohen who's anointed for, who says it, and not the Shochrim. Aye, but the Pasuk says in the Shochrim say it. Ha-ketzat, so how do we resolve that? It's like this. Kohen medaber, the Kohen says it, and therefore v'shoter mashmia, and the officer lets his words be heard by repeating it so everybody can hear it. So this is how you have to understand it. Thus, when the verse says, and the officer shall speak, it means only that they repeat the words of the Kohen. The verse, and the officer shall add, introduces the officer's own proclamation. So let's see how we explain this. The verses that recount the words of the Kohen, that's verses 2 to 4, are followed, okay, let's get it straight again. Verses 2 to 4, that's already different stuff. 2 to 4 was V'amar Aleihem. This is the Kohen, Meshuach Mochama, when they're at the battlefront. That's for sure the Kohen. There's nothing to talk about. 2 to 4, that's at the battlefront. Don't be afraid. Hashem's going to fight for you. Now what's going to happen from 5? It says, and the officers shall speak. So he says, and the officers shall speak. This phrase prefaces the verses of who is the man who built, who planted, who did the Arizim. These verses are followed by, and the officer shall add, and is the man who is frightened and faint of heart, etc. Introduction, okay. And the officer shall add implies something separate from the words of the Kohen. In other words, the officer's own proclamation added that of the Kohen. Now the Torah speaks of the officer's addition only at this point. This implies that until this point, everything was said by the Kohen. But then what is meant by, and the officer shall speak? It says, an officer shall speak. Where it explains that an officer shall speak refers not to their own separate statement, but to their repetition of the words of the Kohen. Thus, the verses of who is the man who built, who planted, who did Erison, are first stated by the Kohen and then repeated by the officers. It means that the officers repeat over what the Kohen says. Okay? One might argue that the phrase, and the officers shall add, refers not to the words of the Kohen, but to something added to the officers' own words. You might want to say, well, it's just that they're adding on to their own words. However, this is fallacious, for were it so, the preface and the officer shall add would be unnecessary. Consider, if the verses of on who is the man who built, who planted, who did Arison, are said by the officers, Torah needs to simply continue, who is the man who's frightened? Why do you say they add? And it will be obvious that this verse too is said by the officers. By prefacing this verse, and the officers shall add, Torah makes it clear that it's different than the verses that preceded. For unlike them, it's a separate statement added to the words of the Kohen. The preceding verses, however, are not added by the officers to the words of the Kohen, but are simply repeated. So therefore, we'll look at the psukim as follows. The first two, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, says, when you're at the front, that's what the Kohen says. Now, hey, is the Kohen also says it, but the Shochrim repeat it.
No,
that's not at the front. Ready said that's not at the front. We already said that's out of order. It says that's where you're at the border. But that's already, that's not this Gemara, but it's out of order, according to many opinions. So Pasuk Hey is saying, since we already said a Kohen says things, so it's understood that the Kohen is going to say these things too, but the Shochrim repeat. So Pasuk Dal means, and the Shochrim repeat the words of the Kohen as follows, Hey Vav Zayin. And then in Ches, they add their own words that are not repeating of the Kohen. And this will all be summarized in the next Brisa. So everything we just said is going to get summarized. As you see, there's going to be three Brises now that seem to all be arguing with each other. And the Gemara says, no, they're not arguing, because they're talking about three different things that are said at different times. And it's all just one summary of everything we've plowed through. Tani Chad, it says in one brayse of the following. Kohen medaber, the Kohen speaks, for shoter mishpia, and the officer lets his words be heard. Okay, that's one. Another brayse says, v'tani idach, Kohen medaber, v'kohen mishpia. The Kohen speaks, and the Kohen lets his words be heard. V'tani idach, and a third brayse says, shoter medaber, v'shoter mishpia. The officer says the words, and the shoter lets his words be heard. So what's going on? Someone's going to answer. It's a three different things that are said. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Hal Kai said, how do we resolve these three apparently conflicting brises? So it's like this. When it says, vinigas, from the words vinigas, va'ad vidibro, that's psukim, gimel, and dalid. Look again. Pasuk gimel. Really, it's a little bit before Pasuk Beis. You see the end of Pasuk Beis? It says, vinigas. When you get come near the battle, okay, that's at the lines, vinigash ha-kohen, and the kohen comes close. So from that until the end of Pasuk Dalid, that's the kohen. That's the first one. This end of Beis, it says the kohen comes close, and he speaks of Bill. Gimel, and no, this is the front. Again.
That's when they come near the battle.
That's the front. When you come near the battle, there's the battle, and there's near the battle is the front. The border is not near the battle. The border's here. Now they're going into Amon, Moav, Midian, whatever.
Okay.
And this is the battle. So they're going to...
The battle is in the battle. Okay.
Okay, so this part over here, this part over here, until Va'ad V'dibro, the Shotrim, that is the Kohen Medaber, the Kohen speaks, and the Kohen Mashmi, and the Kohen lets his words be heard. Meaning another Kohen lets his words be heard. The Kohen Meshuach says, don't be afraid, Hashem will be with us. Now again, this is thousands of troops, so someone has to repeat it. So another Kohen repeats it. That's that thing. Now the next three psukim, where it says, and the Shotrim say, who did this, A, B, and C? Me, from the words, Vidibro, and the Shoftim speak. Until Vyaswan, they will continue to speak, those three psukim. That is also a Kohen Medaber. A Kohen says the words, the Kohen Mashiach. But now it's a Shotrim. Ashbi, the officers let it be heard. That's what it says in the Shotrim say. They let it be heard. Finally, when it says, Mivayosifu ve'elech from the Vyasfu, and the officer shall add on, that is what? That's the last one. Whoever's afraid to go to battle should go home. That Shotrim Medaber, the officers say it, the Shotrim Ashbiya, and the officers let it be heard. So it's different portions. So, therefore, we see that the verses introduced by the words, and the officers shall speak, again, are actually spoken by the Kohen. They are only repeated by the officers. Now, here it's interesting. Commentary asks a question. Why were certain verses spoken by the Kohen and others by the officers? General question. It comes out the first two psukim, Hashem's going to fight for us, a Kohen says it, another Kohen repeats it. The three exemptions, the Kohen says it, the officers repeat it. The one who's afraid, the officers say, the officer repeats. So the question is, why were certain verses spoken by the Kohen and others by the officers? The answer is simple. The Kohen spoke of spiritual matters, exhorting Israel and promising them divine protection. That's the first. In these matters, Israel would hearken only to one of great spiritual stature. You need a tzaddik. A Kohen is a tzaddik. An officer is a soldier. It's two different things. In non-spiritual matters, it sufficed for the Kohen to make the pronouncement once. Subsequent repetition could be made by the officer. So he who is getting married, or he who this and that, that's not a spiritual thing. So it's enough the Kohen says it once, and the officers repeat it. Therefore, verses 5 and 7, which deal with the possibility of death in battle, were spoken by the Kohen and repeated by the officers. However, the final segment of the pronouncements, which speaks of these frightened and faint of heart, could not be recited by the Kohen at all. Why? Because he just told you not to be afraid.
Right.
The Kohen just told you don't be afraid. How can he turn around and say, and those who are afraid? What do you mean, those who are afraid?
Right.
I just told, he just told us not to be afraid. For having just announced there's no reason to fear, the Kohen could not credibly speak of those stricken with fear. According to this signal, was recited by officers only. Oh, so it's,
regardless of who says it, it's still contradicting itself.
No, it's there's, you know, the rabbi is always the theorist, and then the officer on the ground is the practical one. In other words, you know, there's theory and practice. The Kohen says, listen, you really have nothing to be afraid of. Hashem's going to take care of you. Guys, Trust me, it's okay. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Darv says, okay, guys, you heard what the coin said. Of course, we know the coin's a righteous person. But, you know, some of you just may not be as righteous as he's hoped you could be. Now, between us guys, we know there's probably some of you who are a little bit afraid, so you could go. But the coin can't say that. Coin, after telling you you have nothing to be afraid of, is now going to say, okay, who's afraid? So there's theory and practice. That's Yiddishkeit is always that way. There's a theory. Theory is we shouldn't sin, right? Isn't that the theory? No, guys, you know, I'm going. You wake up this morning. Okay, I plan on doing 12 sins today. No, you don't really. You plan Moda Ani Lefonecha Yit Hashem, you know, and Slach Avin Kichatanu. You know, you're planning not to sin today. But you know, but at the end of the day, in practice, you may make a few avers today. So the officers were the pragmatics. They have to deal with what goes on the ground. You know, they have to deal with the ground. Because if guys are going to start deserting in the middle of battle, everyone's going to get killed. So the coin says, listen, I'm telling you to something you're afraid of. If you listen to me, it's fine. And he can't start coming back. Everyone says, okay, and if you think I'm wrong. So the officer, when the coin leaves, the officer says, okay, we're ready, mamash, to go. But, you know, maybe not everybody could live up to what the coin says. So it's not appropriate for the coin to show that it's not going to happen.
All of this is done at the front?
Not all of it, remember. From the previous Gemara, we said the following. Right at the end of Aleph, Beis and Gimel, Gimel and Dal, that's Mamish at the battlefront.
And the coin is at the border?
No, and that's it. Now, hey, we're backing it up to the border. Backing up to the border. Why the Torah put it out of order? They did. So the coin is there at the border, and he tells them all, who has exemptions. Okay, I hear it. It's going to be a problem. I hear the problem is. It's got to be a little different. Okay. And then the Shochim say, who's afraid? So now, you're right. So really, according to the way Rashi has been learning this Gemara, this is the issue that Shelley's bringing up. It's not appropriate for the coin to say those who are afraid, because in the next day or whatever, he's going to tell them at the battlefront, you have nothing to be afraid of. It's not exactly what his commentary said, because unless you're going to learn this is, it's a machlokas what the order is. But according to Rashi, we're saying that Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, that's at the front, while Hay is before the front. So if that's before the front, so in other words, they're saying, if the coin before the front said, you know, whoever's afraid should leave, he can't tell them afterwards, don't be afraid.
Maybe the ones who didn't leave,
yeah,
may have some clients.
No, not the coin. The coin.
Yeah, maybe. But if a coin already tells you, if you're afraid, you should leave.
No.
He can't turn around the next day and say, no one should be, shouldn't be afraid.
Yeah.
Unless you could argue, well, maybe the scaredy cats left, and that's the ones who aren't scared.
Yeah.
So, okay, it would be a shtickle kasha. It's a shtickle kasha.
The order is kind of confusing.
I understand.
The location is confusing.
We also have this Devar Torah that's standard for this. It says that we don't make people embarrassed.
Right, so that fits in very good, because all these psukkim are set at the border. So that's all. For sure, Pasuk Hey, Vav, Zion, and Ches are set in the same place. That's for sure.
Okay.
And that's for sure at the border. For sure at the border. And those who go back, they're the ones who are the rear supply lines. And that's where you need to begin the rear supply lines, at your border, not at the front. Right? The only thing is, you know,
it says near the battle right there. In the
but Bayes is saying when you come to battle, that seems to be right at the front.
Yeah.
So it's out of order. It's out of order according to Rashi. Others say it's difficult otherwise to learn it. So it comes out this little commentary at the end. It's a little bit off. You know, for having just announced. Well, it's a machlokas. Now others argue on Rashi and say everything is either at the battlefield or whatever. It's hard to understand exactly where everything's happening even after the Gemara is finished. Okay, fine. Let's move on. Next point. Now we go to if a guy built a house and we said, well, certain houses are considered a house, certain houses are not considered a house. The Mishnah said it, but we didn't source it. Now we're going to look for the sources for this. Mi ha'ish asher bana bayis chadash. Who built a new house? Tana Rabbana, we learned in our Baisa. It says asher. Now, if you look again, the wording, there's a lot of extra words over here. Look carefully at Pasuk. Hey. Now, if you think about it, Mi ha'ish. Who is whichever man? That's an extra words. Asher, which, bana, built, bayis chadash, a new house. There's a lot of words there just to say someone who built a house. Right? You know, usually you're building a house, a new house. There's a lot of words over there that velo chanacho, and did not dedicate it. Well, what else are you going to dedicate? If you want it to be succinct, you could have written it a lot different. It could have said, Mi shebana velo chanacho. Someone who built and didn't redeem. I mean, obviously, you're building a house. Who is the man which built? That's a lot of verbiage. You say, who has built? Why did it say the man? Anybody? Me, Shabana. Someone who built. So there's a lot of extra words over there. So every little extra word has a little extra nuance, and that's what teaches us all the different laws. So therefore, he is saying, Tanarban, it says, Asher Bana. It says, Asher Bana. Who builds? Ainli el asher bana. So someone who built a house is exempt from battle. Someone who built. First of all, built. Yeah. What about you inherit? What about you bought? You didn't build. It seems an apostle only built. Where do we included other things too. So, lokach, what if he bought? V'yarash and inherit. V'nitin l'banarach, give. How do we know that if you're gifted? We only know built. How do you know anything else? Talmud Lomer, that's the extra word. Miha'ish. Who's the person? You didn't have to say who's the person. It could have just said, Mishabana, right? This teaches that who is the man who acquires a house, even if he didn't build it, is included in the exemption. Why? The verse could have stated like this, Mi Asher Bana, whoever built. Then we know it means only building. The word Ha'ish, a man, is superfluous. That's actually, you don't have to say a man. Who else is going to build a monkey? Great. I'm just saying, who's going to build it? It's not a man. So therefore, the Bryce expounds the superfluity to teach that a man who acquires a house, even if he did not build it, is exempt from the battle. Malbim explains, a man implies any man, but not every man is capable of building his own house. Right? Especially if you're a Jew. Perforce, who built, is not an absolute requirement, but is stated by way of example. So it really means any man who has a house, and one example of that is who builds a house, which is the regular way. Every house gets built by somebody, but not every man is capable of building a house. So mi'aish, any man which benefits from the building of a house, so that can come through by him. So that extra word ha'ish includes you don't have to build it. Okay, but what, maybe only a house, but what about something else? Bias, it says a house. Ainli ela bias, it's only a house. You think a living house. Minayin, how do you know? L'rabos, base tevin, base habakar, base eitzim, then we include barns and other for straw, for animals, for cattle, for witches. How do we know that? Other types of living places. Talmud Lomer, because after it says, asher bana, which built, who built. Why does it have to say who built? Mean to say, mikamachum, under any type of thing he built. Again, if the Torah wanted to limit the exemption to an actual house, the verse would have been written like this, mi ha'ish asher bayis bana. You'd have the word, the subject before the verb, the object before the verb. But it didn't say that. It writes, mi ha'ish asher bana bayis. You have the verb before the house. Right? Who is a man who built? That's an independent clause. A man who built. Mi ha'ish asher bana clause. This teaches an exemption for the building of any structure. So mi ha'ish asher bana, a man who builds, and then bias. So since the order in proper Hebrew, it should have been mi ha'ish asher bias bana. Usually you put the object before the verb. Since the verb was put before the object, we're saying the main thing is the building, and not so much as the house. Okay, so maybe I'll go even further. Remember, we're going to even include you build a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, which you said is not, but maybe that's included. No, that's why it said, Talmud Lomer, it says bais, it says a house. Ma bais haril, just like a house is fit to dwell in. Of color, there has to be something that's fit to dwell in. So even a barn, bedochek, you could live in a barn. You could live in a warehouse. You see, by Boaz, when in the book of Ruth, which we're going to learn soon, when he, where did he sleep the night after the harvest? He slept in the silo. Why did he sleep in the silo? Because people were bad. He's afraid people were going to steal. So he slept in the silo. You can't sleep in a silo. And you may even do so during the harvest season, you know. Guys, you imagine when they finish harvesting. You imagine even during the harvest season. The farm's big. You're talking about lots and lots of acres. You want to spend a whole day, and in Eretz Yisrael, you're harvesting in May. You know how hot it is? From sunup to sundown, you're exhausted. You want to schlep all the way back to the main farmhouse? If you finish your work there, you plunk yourself down there. That's all. So it's livable, but you're not going to plunk yourself in the guardhouse. Right? So it has to be something that's fit for living as it could be done. Okay, good. Now, so that's how we understand that. Now, what about Rabbi? But there's a dissenting view. Even though this is our mission and the Bryce Plan, did you know there is an opinion that disagrees with this? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, he says, no, bayis kamashma'o, a house means a house. Finished. Only a house and nothing else. Not a barn, not a storehouse. So he disagrees with the Tana Kama. He disagrees with that drasha. I guess he doesn't accept the drasha of bona bias. He doesn't accept that drasha. Okay, next part. It says, it should have said, v'lo chanach. It should say, he did not dedicate. What? It doesn't have to say, v'lo chanacho. And he did not inaugurate it. Right? So he could have written it, he who built us, v'lo chanach, and didn't dedicate. Why does he say dedicate it? So what has come to tell you? Prat, to exclude, legaz, the guy who steals. A stolen house is not exempted. So the word it is exclusionary. It implies that one sort of house, it, didn't get it, that house, you don't have to go to battle. But other houses, you do have to go to battle. You know which one? The one you steal. One who built the house and didn't dedicate it. What do you mean it? Just say didn't dedicate. We know it's talking about the house you built. It means it, the one that exempts you. But there's those that don't exempt you. That's if you steal a guy's house. That makes sense. You steal a guy's house, we don't let you go have a battle. Where it says, wait a minute, that would seem to disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because you know what? Maybe a guy, even a stolen house, could go back. Why? Because there's another clause we didn't get to yet. Lema, let's say this opinion is the local Rabbi Yossi Aglili, disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why? Rabbi Yossi Aglili adds the following. We'll see this in a later Mishnah. The E Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Ha'amar, Rabbi Yossi says, when the Kohen says, the officer say, and he who is faint of heart, who's afraid. And what does it mean you're afraid? What does it mean you're afraid? So Pashup Shav is you're afraid to die. Rabbi Aglili learns an added shot. He says, Varach Halevav, the guy who's afraid, Zamisyari, that's the guy who's fearful of what? Going up to Mem Gimel Amid Beis, Mavero Shabiyado, from sins that he has. Okay. That means you're afraid because of sins, right? Meaning up to now, there were no sins, right? But if we're saying that someone who built a house, it has to be his house and not a stolen house, well, what do you mean? We're going to exempt the guy who stole a house not from, he didn't dedicate it, we're going to exempt it from a guy who's afraid of his sins. So it must be he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Now, there's others who disagree with Aglili. He says, it's nothing to do with afraid of sins, just afraid of battles, nothing to do with sins. Okay, we'd exclude a guy who stole a guy's house. But if you learn like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you're afraid of your sins, well, that's going to exempt the next category bill. I don't have to exempt the guy for stealing the house. We're going to exempt him because he has a sin. So why do I have to exempt him for that? Where it says, no, it's still possible. Why? I feel with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We can still say, even like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we could be exempting a house you stole. How? Very interesting. You could steal a house, but maybe you do tshuva. Kigon, the avad tshuva, the guy did tshuva, he gave the money. In other words, yeah, we're excluding the following case. You stole someone's house, but then you did tshuva and you paid him for the house. So now it's technically your house.
Yeah.
So we say, no, it's still not. We're excluding you from that. You're not excluded because of the sin, because you did tshuva on it. But now you still want to live in that house that you stole. We're not going to exempt you because it came to you in a way it shouldn't come. You got that? It speaks in a case where the thief repented his act and gave the owner money to pay for the house.
Right.
In other words, the owner was willing to accept that as the deal. In that case, physically, we'll agree that he's not excluded from the verse of frightened and faint of heart, for he's no longer a sinner.
Right?
Perhaps, though, he's exempt on account of having acquired a house. The Braisa teaches that a house acquired by thievery does not render him exempt. That's what he's saying. That's the Chiddush. And the Gemara is going to ask, wait a minute. Just two more lines will be done. So you tell me he's exempted, but how is he different than a guy who buys a house?
Exactly.
If that's the case, he's a purchaser. And we know a guy who buys a house goes back. So why a guy who stole it, did tshuva, paid the guy for it, bought it? The answer is very simple. Since originally it came to his house through possession, because he first illegally took it. So it's a bad start. This purchase does not exempt him. The surprise is discussing one who stole a house and then recompensated the owner. It teaches that he does not return because it started off bad. You buy a house in general, it was normal. You didn't do anything wrong. But notice that it's already got bad karma. You came to the house in an illegal way. Okay, you did chew and everything else, but it's still not a thing like that. Karner maintains that this interpretation of the Braisa applies not only according to Rabbi Yosef Galila, but even according to Rabbi Akiva, who argues on Rabbi Yosef Galila. Karner argues that one cannot really steal a house. For no matter how one falsifies ownership, the house remains the property of the true owner. Even without the exclusion of... I didn't want to do that. Look at that last part. He says, even without the exclusionary verse, then the house would not exempt the thief from battle. Why then is a verse necessary? In other words, he's saying you really can't steal a house.
Yeah.
Perforce, the Braisa deals with one who recompenses the owner. It teaches that nevertheless, the house does not exempt him from more since originally came into possession through thievery. We see that this understanding is inherent in the Braisa. It is not compelled by Rabbi Yosef Galila. In other words, how do you steal a house? That's the whole point. Forget about Rabbi Yosef Galila, Karnorian says. Forget about Rabbi Yosef Galila. We have to worry about it if he did sins. How can you ever steal a house? You can't steal a house because it's that other guy's house.
Yeah, when he built it, it's still empty.
So how do you say he's excluded? So you got to say he paid him for it because it's never your house. Do you understand? I can steal your watch and you're never going to see your watch again. But your house is sitting, on 8 Green Acres Boulevard, right? I stole it. It's there. You still have deed and title. It's yours. You can't steal it, Okay, I can forcibly not you get in there, but everybody knows it's Shelley's house. So, in other words, you can't say it's your house. Do you understand? You can't, a house, it's not movable. You could steal a lot of things. You could steal somebody's chicken and eat it. Yeah. You can steal a guy's watch and wear it. He'll never be able to even see it.
Right.
You can't. Can you steal property? I mean, these things you can't steal. So they're saying, how can you exclude it? It's not his. You can't say it's yours and you stole it when it's property. To which they're, therefore, even forget about Rabbi Yosef Galila. You got to understand what's Pashup Shot in the interpretation. That it's excluded. What do you mean excluded? It's not your house to begin with. Why do we have to exclude it? The answer is it has to be. He bought it, did tshuva. And that's why we exclude him anyway. That's the point he's saying. For the Mishnah to say we exclude a guy who stole a house because it's not his house. Well, of course it's not his house. In other words, why should he even think he should have it? It's not his house. I don't have to exclude. You imagine, say, I want to go back to I want to live in Chaim Yankel's house. It's not your house. Well, it's my house. I stole it. Well, it's still not your house. Why should we let you go? No, I did shuv and I bought it from him. Sorry, you get excluded anyway. So in other words, even without Yosef Galila, we have to exclude him. Okay, tomorrow begins, gentlemen, a difficult Gemara. So don't miss tomorrow. Everything's been pretty easy till now.
Maybe a reason to miss tomorrow.
No, because it's going to go into Monday. Those who learned Rambam with Kerem will be a little bit easier. All right, but it's a little bit tricky.